Hello, this episode we're deciding which is more powerful, King Kong or Sharknadoes. Plus there was an unexpected expected ticket price increase at Universal Orlando, not any other Universal. And then we're also going to have some good old-fashioned water bottle talk, some escape talk, some hacking talk, and a lot of stuff before we start talking about the Universal Dining Plan. So from the Bob Varley Studio, this is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. This is episode 26 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Experts at helping you plan the perfect Universal vacation, whether you need round-trip transportation and tickets from Disney or a vacation package. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. I am your host, Craig Williams. A lot more confident after that very shaky, long, drawn-out introduction.
Yeah.
And I will fully admit that. I don't know what I was thinking right before then, but hey, we got through that intro, so that's good. Mm-hmm. And I'm here joined with Rhino Clavin.
Tip of my hat.
Tip of the hat, tip of the face. I don't know what that means. Also, right beside me is Jenny Lynn Knopp.
Hey, everybody.
Did I finally get it this time?
You did.
Okay.
It only took a month and a half.
Nope, you didn't.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I apologize.
Okay, well, let's quit and we'll start over later. But then, of course, back on the controls, making all those things move. If you're watching video, okay. if you're listening on the audio edition, then he's controlling us from screaming all the time. Sometimes. Producer Dustin West.
I'm here.
He's too
here.
Cool for
hey,
school.
Too cool.
Your head is perfectly framed right now in between those two ghosts. Like,
yes.
He's the third hitchhiking ghost.
It's wonderful. Sometimes you just can't plan those things.
Yeah.
But yeah, so welcome to another episode. We got a lot of stuff going on. This was kind of a pretty tremendous week for actual news and stuff for Universal. Very tremendous as compared to 2 weeks ago whenever we did a buzz episode and there was literally nothing buzzing and we just had to make up
we
had to make up stuff for people to care about. And this week is completely different, though. There's a lot of stuff to care about, and of course we'll get to that just in a little bit, but we've got to go over our housekeeping, corrections, omissions, questions, and just any other randomness. As I start out all of our housekeeping, make sure to go ahead and like our videos on YouTube, review us on iTunes if you download the audio edition. Started getting reviews coming in and it's getting better, I think. I mean, I'm reading them. They seem a little more positive. But it's getting better than it was before, so keep doing that. Let us know how we do. Also, for feedback and just voicemails and feedback in general from whatever, you can now call into kind of, I don't know the exact terminology. Pete was explaining to me right before we start, but now that you can actually call in and leave feedback, and you can find the number to call in, or is it through computers, Dustin? Why don't I ask you? You're the producer.
So basically, it's just a little form. It's not even a form. You just go onto the link that we'll provide, and you can leave a voicemail through your computer, and you can also, I believe you can use a phone number. I'm not sure on that. I will find out for you, and we'll leave all the details in the show notes page, because I'm not the one that's creating this. I just know of it. So I will figure that out, and we'll put everything you need to know about it in the show notes page.
Wonderful,
cool.
Thank you.
I like that idea.
Put a voice to the words. Yeah.
Exactly. Kind of bringing our audience into the show.
Man, I hope some positive people call, and it's not the people who are mean.
Seriously.
I mean, I welcome their calls as well.
I don't.
I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, you can find that on our show notes page, disunplug.com. That's where you get everything. If you want the Universal-specific show notes, you click on the blue Universal button. If you want something else like the Disney World edition, click on the orange. If you want the Disneyland, the green one. And this other little ditty that someone does, the tier right now, the trip. There's also a button for that. It's multiple colors.
And you
though,
get,
so.
But you get more points if you push either Teresa's face or Jenny Lynn's face. And you know,
it's like a Toy Story Mania yeah. kind of a thing.
So, yeah, I mean, we do have other shows on the Diz Unplugged Podcast Network, I guess. is yes, what it is sure. at this point. So go ahead and check all those out on disunplug.com. And, you know, you can email us at any time at podcast@disunplug.com. You can like, follow, comment on anything through Facebook and Twitter on either the Diz Unplug channels, or the Diz Universal ones. So all of that you can, of course, find through the show notes once again at disunplug.com, or you can just get fancy and try to search things on the computer, which people are doing. And then, of course, if you're looking for a different way to find the show, you can always do that through Stitcher. We are now on Stitcher if you listen to stuff through Stitcher, which some people do, I guess.
I have never heard of it until this very moment in time.
It's a thing.
Is it like an Android? Is it like for them?
No, it's just another way to ingest podcasts.
Audio. Cool. For everybody who's listening on Stitcher right now, what's up?
All four of you.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe. I don't even know those numbers.
You guys are pioneers in your field.
You are.
Welcome.
You're ahead of your time. That's all I've actually got, though, for housekeeping. It's been a slow week in terms of keeping up the house. So
I'd like to congratulate us on not having any corrections, is what I'd like to do.
Oh,
good work, guys.
Sorry, actually.
Oh, no.
We did have a correction in a way. So we were talking on our Islands of Adventure, or maybe not the Islands of Adventure overview. It might have been our bracket challenge from this past week. But another podcast out there, the unofficial Universal Orlando podcast, left us some feedback on Twitter, because they actually they took the time to listen to our show.
That's cool. They care. That's nice.
No, yeah. It's very nice. So I encourage anyone to, you know, they have a whole different aspect on Universal. So definitely take the time to discover everything you can about Universal. But they wanted to correct us on Doctor Doom and the ride system, because we said, of course, you shoot up and then you slowly fall back down.
Well, you
to
go
Earth.
Down and up, back, and then down.
So they said, you get shot up, shot back down, and then slowly float down.
Oh, so however, you get to the top and it shoots you down?
I took the time to sit there and watch it. You shoot up, you come back down, and then it shoots you up again, like more around halfway, and then you slowly fall back down to Earth.
Okay, I was there on Sunday, and that's what I got from watching, and I was like, I remember thinking like, oh, it comes down a little faster that first time than I remembered.
But it does drop you a little bit the first time, except for I didn't realize maybe it just doesn't feel like you fall as far as you do. I just feel, when I went on it, just a couple weeks ago, I know it shoots you up, and then you do have that initial little drop because you come up out of your seat like you do on a Tower of Terror, but then it stops and then you kind of feather down.
No, it's an up, a fall back down at the normal pace you would think, and then once again, you go back up, but only like halfway, and then it slowly tapers you down.
Got it.
So that is the correct one. So I'm not trying to call them out on being wrong. Maybe I just misread their terminology, but we have the definitive answer now.
The point is we're getting the correct information out there. Whoever has it, whoever doesn't, it doesn't matter.
And if you want to call us out on anything else, we will actually admit. So if you're a fan of Conan O'Brien, he sometimes will do his go back and correct what you do, and he always proves them wrong. We will not prove you wrong. We will fully admit whenever we are wrong, which
happens. I actually like the universal camaraderie that we have going on here.
I know. It feels good. It feels grand. But with all that said, I think that's done for housekeeping, because we don't have anything else. I already asked you once and you didn't have anything else. No, that's fine.
We have plenty of other things to talk about.
We have plenty of stuff to talk about in the buzz. So I think we should start talking about what's buzzing now in terms of Universal Orlando. It's not the most recent thing that's been buzzed about, but I think it's still the most important one. King Kong is officially coming back to Orlando.
Yes, it is.
So during the 2014 fourth quarter Comcast earnings call, CFO Michael Angelakis, I believe is how you would pronounce his name.
Yeah, I'm lost
on that
one.
That's the best way to say it. But he kind of slipped the news that there is going to be a King Kong attraction coming to Orlando. So he was talking about capital investments, and he said, in 2015, NBC Universal's capital investment plan will remain relatively stable at 2014's level, with over half directed to our theme park segment as we continue to invest in attractions, which including Harry Potter and the Fast and the Furious attractions in Hollywood and a King Kong attraction in Orlando.
Yes. And I was going to say, and that's significant because didn't he also report that they had a 30% increase in profits, I guess?
Absolutely.
That is like two bullet points later from now.
I'm just kidding. No, yeah, it did. It rose 29.
Be flexible, Ryan.
The revenue rose 29.9% from $566 million in 2013 to $735 million in 2014. I think
that's like crazy. That's
very impressive.
30% more money in a park. Like, I feel like usually you hear like, oh, 10%. That's just, those numbers are insane. Yeah.
What I find even more impressive is what Craig said, that they're taking at least half of that and investing it back into the theme park segment, back into more attractions, back into things that the guests are actually coming to the parks for, rather than things that are going to be costing the guests more money.
And that's cool too, because it's like that, you know, I'm sure a big bump of that money was like Diagon Alley opening. So it's clearly like they're going to, my hope is investment into future attractions or theme, you know, like theme heavy places like that.
It's just, the whole thing was so bizarre to me because he just kind of said it, and there's stuff that he could have said in replacement to that. I mean, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is shooting up really quickly over in Hollywood. Their Springfield, which looks a million times better than the one in Orlando, is also going to be open very, very soon. Fast and the Furious adding to the Studio Tram Tour. That's been heavily announced. So the two things he mentioned there were everyone's already known. He didn't mention Springfield, but he could have put that in too. In terms of on our side, he could have mentioned something about Sapphire Falls, how they're still investing money in that. And I mean,
so this was a genuine slip. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it was a slip or if he was expecting no nerdy theme park people out there to really listen for something like that.
Except that we've already been, you know, talking about this rumor for a while. So is it really that big of a secret?
I don't know. I mean, like, because it's still like a weird thing to me that like now it's officially announced. It's officially Kong sitting right next to Jurassic Park, that I still don't understand it, because I find King Kong to be completely irrelevant. But I understand there's another movie, and it's cool that they're jumping ahead.
You're good. You can go now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had been wondering about that too, because we'd talk about it on the show, but you know, I go to the local news station here regularly to talk about the theme park announcements. They called me in just a couple days ago to talk about the Kong announcement, and what the connection is possibly going to be, what I found out.
The dinosaur?
Yes, in 2017, they're coming out with Skull Island.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. We talked about that. Hiddleston.
Yeah, and you got the dinosaurs and the big gorilla in the same movie, so maybe that's how they're going to tie it in.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a thing that said something about it. Not a thing. I guess like it's pure speculation. I just read it really quick because I didn't give it any credit, but it was something about that the whole area would be called Skull Island now instead of it. But then it just seems to me like maybe there's more than an attraction going there, because otherwise it's just one attraction sitting in a weird place, and no other part of Islands of Adventure is that.
I mean, the one thing about that section of land where it is being built, it is bigger than you would think. I mean, just if you've been through Islands of Adventure lately, looking at that whole construction area, it is massive.
Yeah.
It's not just this one. Yeah, the building's huge alone. And there's even more wiggle room and where to put it in. And I mean, there's always some rumor outlying that someday Toon Lagoon's going to go, where other parts of Jurassic Park's going to go.
Like spill over.
Yeah. In the same way that, you know, Lost Continent could potentially go away to make room for Harry Potter, I'd be completely fine with Toon Lagoon going away to make more room for more Jurassic Park stuff. I, you know, like you said, the first time we talked about it, don't mess with my dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But beyond that, at least they're finding a way to somehow tie this in. It's not being randomly plopped in the middle of Marvel Superhero Island. You know, they're finding something to do to tie it in.
I can respect that the Tyrannosaurus Rex is in there, but I mean, my brain hurts because I'm like, people are going to be like, that's the dinosaur from that escape theme park over there. But like, King Kong is 1920s and like Jurassic Park is now.
Oh yeah, it's like two different entire time periods. So it wouldn't even make sense on that. And then like Jurassic Park, it's distinctly, these were genetically created dinosaurs of this variety on these islands. And Skull Island, it's all just mythical in a sense, and that all the King Kong itself, and then the dinosaurs that are on that island, they've they've been there. We don't know for how long, but they've always been a part of it. So to combine them in that way, just it doesn't make any sense to me. But right now, we don't have any more details. So we can't, we can only speculate at this point.
And the last two things they've done, or the last three things, they're even four, I guess, because you could say Harry Potter, Simpsons, Transformers, like, have come out so well that I feel like I am getting a little more nitpicky than I should, and I should give them the benefit of the doubt at this point.
They've done a good job so far. Yeah. And when while we're talking about speculation, you know, you were saying we don't have any details about what that ride is like, but I think we mentioned it before. Most likely it is not going to be a recreation of the original ride. It's going to have more technical aspects of the one that's out in California, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we once again, we have zero details on it, but most likely they are going to take a lot of the aspects of Kong 360 out in Hollywood, and they're going to apply some of that technology to it. They might even use a portion of that video if they can. It wouldn't make a lot of sense because in that video, as you're going through there, it clearly shows the Universal Studios tram tour.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that people with computers could do something to modify it to whatever ride vehicles are actually going to be used for this one.
Also, the big difference between this and Kong 360 is that it will be its own dedicated attraction. So they're going to expand the theming. It's going to be bigger and better. It's not just going to be that one room that has the 360 screens.
And that's meant for just a nice short little 2-minute piece of the tram tour, just like they do with anything else there, a part of their tram tour. It's just a little bit of glimpse into that movie. So this is going to be on such a different scale that there's no way to really know. The pros, it's going to be the first time having something Kong in Orlando for quite a while, because Kong Confrontation, the original King Kong attraction based on the 70s movie, has been out of there since 2002 because Revenge of the Mummy came in and Brendan Fraser just screwed everything up for everyone.
Is that where Kong was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Partially. I mean, if you think about the architecture right there in New York and like the grand theater sense of it, that's kind of like, you know, so no, that's it's a plus, because although Universal wasn't involved in the original King Kong, the one that's most famous, that's an RKO Pictures.
Oh, that's right, because it had the beeping on top.
Yeah, that was RKO, and then Universal kind of took everything over and did Kong in the 70s, and then did the Peter Jackson version in 2005. Yeah, 2005.
Yeah.
So they've been helming it ever since then, and I mean, King Kong is just synonymous with, if that works in this sense, it's synonymous with Universal.
Yeah, because the Universal's opening even had used to have the little airplane when it was black and white, and that just reminds me like the airplanes flying around him on the Empire State Building and stuff, like, and the ride was like was that ride there when the park opened?
Yeah, it was one of the original rides in that park opening, and then it was also a part of the tram tour.
Yeah, so
as well too, right. I believe. I don't quote me on it. I'm still learning more about Hollywood, but I believe it was also engulfed in one of the fires that kind of killed a lot of their backlog.
Yeah, I remember that for sure was like, I think it had already been in the pipeline to be like closed, and I think burning the building down was like the
when Hollywood had the fire, it took out portions of their backlot, which was a part of their tram tour, including some of the buildings from the original Back to the Future Town Square, and also their King Kong portion of the ride. One of the few things that did survive, if I remember correctly, was their film vault, which was like in fireproof casing and stuff like that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been like the world's largest explosion.
Really sad. Yeah.
Because
well, and depressing.
Film is incredibly flammable.
Yeah. So, you know, good news. Well, Kong's coming.
What I like is like the things I like about it is like, if this is just like they're like, we need to get back to roots and be like King Kong, I like that it's like what we were talking about. I hope they kind of make throwbacks to more of their history that made Universal what it is.
And I agree.
This could be step one.
That's why I'm excited about it, because I missed all of that, you know, from when the park opened. I have never gotten to experience the original Kong ride, and I know this won't be the same, but I am really looking forward to experiencing at least some version of it, because it kind of makes you feel more in touch with classic Universal Studios.
I know. I never got to experience it.
I didn't either. I was too afraid. I thought it was a real gorilla in there.
The only two things I was really lucky to ever do is I got to go on Jaws a lot, and I can still ride E.T. anytime. So I still have those.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see what happens with King Kong as more released, we will continue to update on it. And if you actually want to hear the clip of the earnings call where Mr. Angelakis, the CFO, screwed up and said it, you can go on the universal.wdwinfo.com site, find the story about it. We'll have it in the show notes, of course, since it's part of the buzz, and you'll be able to listen to it there where he has his little slip up. But the big breaking news of the morning, so if you're watching this live or listening to this later on, you already probably know about it, but Universal went ahead and increased their ticket prices. So it doesn't really surprise anyone. Walt Disney World increased all of their ticket prices back on Monday. So that was 4 days ago. It's the 26th, the 22nd. I know math.
Universal always follows suit shortly after.
Funny enough, the last time they increased their ticket prices, it was also 4 days after Disney World did it. So it was right on schedule, because whenever I was working this all out, I was like, oh, let's see if I'm going to have to change this in the script. And then lo and behold.
It's just interesting that they wouldn't like keep theirs at what it was for a little bit longer to have that be like the appeal to get people. But I guess they're at the point where they don't need that appeal anymore.
But it's not just about competitive appeal and advantage. It's also about saying that our product is worth just as much as Disney.
Yeah.
Even though it's $3 less, it's still in that. It's now they're both above $100 for a 1 day park. And so it's about keeping that status.
Product integrity, I guess, is a way of looking at it.
Exactly.
I mean, not that the product has changed, but just like you were saying, it's their statement of saying, we're worth it too.
This also isn't a charity. It's not you donate however much money you have and we'll let you in. It's not like that. This is, they are in the competitive game where if they want to continue prospering and building and getting bigger, they need that. They need money coming right back in the long run. Is an extra $6 going to actually have an effect on ticket price or on the amount of money that comes in? Well, yeah, it will, especially because all the other ticket prices rose as well. So
I think the big one about this is going to be possibly the mental barrier with people, simply because it crossed that $100 a day mark. That's really it. It's not that it won't be so much, you know, that it's, oh, well, it's only so much more, but there's something about it when you cross that 99 mark, you start to just kind of, it makes you check yourself and go, oh.
Yeah. So I'll break it down here right now. Now a 1 day, one park ticket costs $102 plus tax for adult, $97 plus tax for children, which, you know, it's only $6 for the adult ticket and $7 for the child's ticket. I might've screwed up. I thought it was $96 for a kid's. Either way,
it's
increased. And then on top of that, for a two-day one-park ticket, it's $149 now. And then for a three-day, $159, four-day, $169. So they've all gone up.
I don't want to steal your thunder here. The thing you put in here, my aunt was just here with her kids, her kid and some family friends and stuff. And they did Universal tickets, and you wrote in here about this deal. Do you want to say that deal? The free per ticket?
Oh, hold on one second with that. So then also, if you want a park-to-park admission, before it was $135, now it's up to $147. So that increased $12.
And you do want that park-to-park admission because it gets you on Hogwarts Express.
The train.
In between the Harry Potter lands.
Exactly. And that's where all of this is kind of blurred in. Annual pass. Sorry, before I get too ahead of myself, I just wanted to go over all the logistics.
Yeah.
Annual passes went up to now for a Florida resident annual pass, it's $189. For the Power Pass, Preferred Pass is $259.99, and the Premier Pass is $384.99. And if you're out of state, those all went up as well. But most people, I think, that buy Universal.
Yeah.
Annual passes are probably Florida residents
for the most part, but you take a look at the annual pass, and Disney does something kind of similar. The top tier annual pass that you can get is less than $400, and so that's less than, you know, four single day tickets.
Exactly.
You know, so that's, you know, it's not outrageous, I guess.
No, I mean, and parking alone, it gets those two those two top tiers get you the free parking, which is $17 every time you go. And then that means, like, you know, you've got City Walk is attached to those two parks. So, like, if you want to go see, just go see a movie during the day, or if you want to go out at night, I mean, I know it's less at night, but still, every time that adds up really fast.
Yeah.
So let's talk logistics on this too. First off, whereas Disney people are constantly buying multi-day passes because it's hard. They have four theme parks there. People are crazy and try to do four parks in one day. It's, you know, they don't get to do a lot of stuff, but they do try to do it just to fulfill some quest of I'm going to do everything that I possibly can. Universal, anymore with only having the two parks but missing out on the Hogwarts Express because you don't have that two-park pass, that's a big thing that you need to have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, normally you would think two parks, I need to get at least 2 days, but that's not the case. If you are smart about how you're doing everything at Universal, you can do everything in one day. You might not enjoy it. I'll flat out say it. You won't enjoy it.
No,
you need to have more than a day at Universal. I flat out think the easiest, at least 3 days there. So you have 1 day to do all of one park and get in a little bit of the other, vice versa, and then go back and do all of those favorite things that you did before. But a lot of people do buy just that one park pass at Universal because, you know, they think they can do it all in one day. They can get a 1 day two park pass and they've got it all done.
Yeah. And they're used to the way I think the park, like, might have been set up before, but now that they have all these new experiences, you know, like Simpsons, like if you want to sit, you want to eat, you want to get a Duff beer, you want to and then, you know, Diagon Alley, you can't just go on the ride. You need to get ice cream and your butter beer, and then like there's like the shows in there, and then there's just so much. Just walk around and look at the details alone in there that it's going to suck up. Like, it's not just 45 minutes for the ride. It's going to be 45 minutes for the ride and then at least probably an hour to do the other stuff. So that's 2 hours in one thing.
So I'll even say this in terms of the ticket and price increase. You know, it sucks that stuff has to go up in money.
Yeah.
It always sucks whenever that happens. However, in this case, there's still ways to take advantage of it. One way is because Universal's still running their promotion. If you buy 2 days, you can get the third day free.
And I think that's a really good deal. My aunt, like I was saying before, she came down and she's the one who told me about that because she had bought, they were already planned 2 days and they're like, well, we got the third day for free anyway, so we just have it. She didn't end up using it, but they could have ended up using it. That was the thing, is she didn't end up doing everything they wanted to do.
Yeah. So right now with the pricing, if you want a 2 day, two park ticket, which really in a sense is a 3 day, two park ticket, it's only going to cost you $194.99 per adult, $184.99 per child.
And that's less than one in one would have been before too, right? Or like sitting right around what 1 day, one park, 1 day, one park would have been, right? So like two park, is that each one of those tickets that you get a two park pass? Is that where for the two get one, three? What I'm saying is
you're
the
confusing
price.
Me.
Okay. So the price number that you just said.
Yeah, that's for a 2 day, two park pass. However, because they have the special deal going on right now, it gets you that third day.
Well, what I'm saying with the price in the number it is now, it's still like comparable to what a one park, 1 day for each park would have been, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I feel like that's a really good deal, is what I'm saying. Like, that's all.
I mean, it's all a good deal. Flat out, the point is, if you go to Universal, you're flat out crazy if you just do a 1 day, one park ticket.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, here's how I feel about the whole park hopping thing. With Disney, it doesn't make as much sense to me. You can stay in one park and have a really great time. When you park hop at Walt Disney World, you lose a lot of time during your day. Yeah. Transporting between the parks. At Universal, it makes a lot more sense when you just have to do Hogwarts Express. You just have to. And then it's a very short transition between the parks. So not only are you on an attraction while you are going in between parks, but it is a short distance and you don't lose a huge chunk of your day.
Yeah,
I absolutely agree. So if you want more information on how much the pricing did go up per ticket and stuff, go on universal.wdwinfo.com. Find our ticket section right now because of the news. You can find it in about a million places all around the homepage just to make it nice and easy. But overall, thoughts on it? It doesn't really affect me. I'm still going to continue to get an annual pass.
Do you know off the top of your head what the difference is between what that annual pass increase was for, like, the I'm just curious. Like, was it like $50? Was it like, I don't know what it was last year.
I believe it was. I
clearly have been keeping track of my annual
for
pass.
For the basic pass, I know, I think it was $179.99 before, so I think it only went up about 10 bucks.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad at all.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not bad at all. So, it happened. No, you should have bought your tickets earlier. That was your fault. Deal with it. Yeah. Sorry, people. We've got more things to buzz about. And the next thing is really cool for five people and really lame for the rest of the world. Sharknado 3. Filming at Universal Studios Florida. So whenever they announced that Sharknado 3 was happening, they said that it was going to happen in Washington, D.C., as well as Orlando. But they didn't give any details on where it was actually going to be at in Orlando. And, you know, all of a sudden, it's happening right at Universal Studios Florida. So it started filming on February 16th, and production lasted through the 24th. So this past Tuesday, whenever it wrapped up, right before Heather Hines Casting announced that they were seeking extras for the third edition of the sci-fi film franchise series that was shooting under the name Vortex 3. They were looking for bikini girls, soldiers, and park patrons.
They had to give it a fake name so because people would storm the set of Sharknado 3.
You know, Tara Reid pulls in a lot of people.
Yeah. yeah, of course she does.
It's like the Blue Harvest of our modern times, really.
It literally wasn't even... If everyone showed up. Ian Ziering eventually showed up. I know the last time we talked about this last week, he had yet to really get to the park yet.
I have to correct you because he would quickly correct you. It's Ian Ziering.
I know. I don't need Julie just correcting me on it. Now I got you correcting me too. Ian, I don't care about him. He showed up. So he was there. Tara Regia. Everyone would have figured it out. They could have called it just three. And everyone, they could have called it something completely different. Like Tails.
Tailspin.
That's terrible.
Tailspin. They could have called it Tailspin. People would have been looking for Blue and all of them. But it came and I followed the whole coverage on it. I didn't really go and stalk it out. One day I happened to be by the Universal Globe whenever they were filming a part. And I mean, just seeing them act. Of course, there are not actual sharks on set. That is all put in post-production.
Did they have chainsaws up in the air and stuff like that?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, please. Dustin.
It's so are they using Universal Studios Orlando as a functional studio? Or are they using it as a location for the film? Like it's featured.
It's in the film.
It's in the film. So
it's
the tornado comes down the East Coast and ends at Hollywood.
So the scene takes the place studios. In Universal Studios.
Yeah. Orlando. So, to kind of continue on everything, because I started to jump around, a lot of Rip Ride Rocket was involved, including a cameo by wrestler Chris Jericho. Oh, I'm sure you were.
Jericho was there?
Jericho was there as
How
a
did I miss
as
that?
A Rip Ride Rocket team member.
OMG.
He looked ridiculous because, I mean,
I was just going to say, I can't wait to see like the tiny shirt with like the name tag.
It was awful. Also, in terms of cameos, apparently there's an Irish duo singing group called Jedward. Which I just think that's about the dumbest name
you could ever. It sounds like a Simpsons character. Jedward.
It's just like someone named Edward wanted to change things up one day, so I'm going to make myself Jedward. And I don't know who they are.
Bo Derek as well, right?
Yeah, Bo Derek's in it. So I almost assume she has to take on a role of something like Tara Reid's mother in it. Maybe that was in the first one. I don't pay attention to the Sharknado movies. I'm gonna have to watch them now.
Oh, okay.
I watched them.
I'm pretty up on the whole mythology and the wiki of it all. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So this. Well, so it was all happening right around Universal Studios Florida in the production central area, specifically in front of the Universal Studios Music Plaza stage, right outside of the Twister area and all that. They were filming stuff there. They filmed at the Universal Globe Rip Ride Rocket. So I'm sure that they also used some of the sound stages on property too. That would make no sense that they came down and didn't even use it for
I think I read that they had filmed inside of Twister too. Like I thought I saw some, you know, like people who were in the movie have been like tweeting.
Did the
pictures.
Cow make an appearance?
I'm not even kidding you. I saw somebody's like blurry photo of the truck when it's caught on fire, and it was part of like the filming at the thing. And I was just like, "Does a shark get in there?"
You stumped Craig.
Of course, I was gonna watch it anyways. I'm not proud of watching it. I was gonna watch it anyways, and now
They make them because they want us to make fun of them. That's what they said. Is that because the only reason the other ones got made is because it broke like the Twitter record or like the tweets per minute or something like that when the first one aired.
So the only thing I am afraid about, and I know it kind of started popping around Twitter, is rumors that people were spreading. It's something that you brought up.
Oh, the attraction?
Back before about Twitter, or sorry, Twister. Two different words about Twister potentially ever becoming a Sharknado because Sci-Fi is owned by NBC Universal and Comcast. So that's why it all works together.
I love that idea.
It's in that big family. So you mentioned how merchandise started to pop up in the Twister store with Sharknado stuff on it, hearing about maybe one day it will become a Sharknado Twister attraction. And
oh my gosh.
I can't imagine there's going to be a 4 and 5 of these movies. But
this is like I'm
sure there will be.
It's like the episodes of Full House and Family Matters where they go to Disney World. It's like all this co-op branding.
Surreal.
The rumors for Twister closing have been getting bigger and bigger. It's been gaining more ground recently. And so now I don't know when exactly Sharknado 3 is going to come out, but there's going to have to be some more cross promotion in a way.
I read that that the Hunger Games was supposed to go into what Twister was. There was a proposal for it, and the Lionsgate had rejected their proposal. So that's originally what was supposed, like something was supposed to shut down there, and then they were like, "Well, I guess we got to keep it open."
Well, now we're just adding layers and layers to this junk.
Sharknado Hunger Game Twister mashup. That's what I want. PETA with a cake. Or bread, I guess. Shark.
He'd make a pita. Yeah.
I have just lost all the interest in you now from that. So Sharknado, whenever it's set to release, we'll let you know. And I'm sure you'll hear all about it from somewhere else. But
that moment when you realize that PETA from The Hunger Games is the son of a baker and his name is PETA. I just had that moment.
Bum, bum, bum.
Wow.
Moving on, the next thing in the buzz, also we kind of highlighted on it last week, Dig Escape the Broom is coming March 3rd.
Like you said Escape the Broom.
The broom?
Did I say Escape the
you
Broom?
You said Broom.
That's a cleaning product.
I thought I said Escape the Broom. It is coming to Universal Studios Florida March 3rd through 8th. So USA is bringing the excitement of its new event series, Dig, to life by giving you the chance to unravel an epic mystery of your own. We've teamed up with Escape the Room to create an immersive, one-of-a-kind Dig-themed experience that will put your wits to the ultimate test. As we discussed last week, Escape the Room is one of the new trending escape live games that are like, popping up all over the place. There's one in Orlando. It's not Escape the Room, but it's like the Great Room Escape.
It's Escapeology, maybe?
There's an Escapeology one. They just keep twisting the name a little bit.
And then they give you like you have to solve like a number of like mysteries. So it'll be like word puzzles, knowledge, and like Easter egg hunt, something like that, like to get
in order to get
further
out
yourself through. Yeah, it just reminds me of like a murder house from Saw or something. But
so
only, I'm sure it's much less.
You don't die at the end.
Yeah.
You might. But in this one, teams of 10 will be locked in a mysterious room and given 30 minutes to work together to unlock clues, solve puzzles, and find a way to escape the room. The experience is free and unforgettable. Select a room.
Unforgettable.
My bad. Yeah. So, of course, they're doing this one inside Universal Studios, Florida. It will be happening near the disaster area, but from March 3rd through the 8th, you can go and register in the Studio Audience Center to reserve a spot to take place in this. It's next week. So, I hope we can find time to get over and actually do it.
I would love to do it.
Yeah.
But do you think that this thing has a repeatability?
Well, it's weird that it's an experience that's so limited. That's just the couple of days. And then I'm wondering, like, is it going to be open to close or if it's just going to be like two or three groups a day? I'm just confused because the trailer I saw for this thing is just what you're describing here and what I saw are just not matching up in my brain. I don't know.
I've never done one of these escape challenge things. I know they're a big deal. It doesn't appeal to me. I'd like to try it since it's actually coming to Universal and it's in a tie-in with USA. Which, of course, it's also owned by it. It all works together like that. I would like to get over and try it. I'm not super excited about it, but I think it might be a cool little experience. So that way, if there's there's the one that's always there in New York City that's Escape the Room. So yeah. Maybe the next time people are up in New York City, they'll say, hey, I tried it while I just happened to be on vacation. I'm going to go up there. At this point, Orlando doesn't need another one, though. It starts saturating the market of stupid escape games. But at this point, I mean, you could almost say the same thing about theme parks. Eventually, you're going to saturate the market with how many theme parks are down here.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be around during that time, go ahead and try to sign up and be a part of it. We'll try to do it as well.
Yeah. I think it sounds like fun. I'm just a little bit afraid of not being able to solve the mysteries and then feeling like a big loser at the end.
I'm doing Goofy's Mystery Tour next week, and I had done that last year. And man, when you think you know some stuff and you go to one of those things, it puts you in your place real quick.
Sounds awful.
Yeah.
All sounds awful. So moving on to the next
great time.
Moving on to the next buzz item, which is only probably of interest to me and six other people too. The Comcast NBC Universal Hackathon is coming to Universal Studios Florida, March 28th to the 29th at the Portofino Bay Hotel. NBC Universal and Comcast are doing their third ever hackathon. The first two happened in 2014 in New York City and Los Angeles, specifically Universal City. That's where Universal Studios Hollywood is.
Oh.
Thanks for clarifying.
Figured I would. So Hackathon is a 24-hour hackathon organized around the theme of smart, dynamic, immersive entertainment driven by technology. So I have you interested?
Not hacking.
I'm on the edge of my seat right now. Okay.
So here's the thing. You have the chance to sign up.
Sony.
Participants will have access to platforms, electronics components, APIs, SDKs, and content from leading edge technology firms in rapidly emerging fields like virtual reality, augmented reality, automatic content recognition, wearables, and the Internet of Things.
Did you say werewolves?
Werewolves, yes.
Oh, wearables?
Wearables.
I keep hearing the word and werewolves, and I was like, wow, there's Tasha Curveball in there.
So basically, you can sign up to be a part of this thing that really isn't hacking in a sense, but they're given access to all this different kind of technology with specific goals in terms of trying to make something work for Universal. And so they have to kind of go into this technology that they may not be as familiar with and kind of figure out the logistics of it and put together something new. In terms of it. So I'll give it the last one that happened in Hollywood. I was reading about that. So one team or one challenge that you could participate in was for The Voice. La Voz in Spanish, but The Voice in American English.
Are all bilingual right now?
Yes. Always bilingual. So they were deemed with the challenge of trying to find a way to make The Voice also kind of easily accessible from social media because people are constantly tweeting about stuff on The Voice as it's happening. So they needed to try to find a way to streamline everything social media wise, being able to vote, all that stuff, right? And in a real time sense. So they had essentially had to develop an app to do all this. And they only had that 24 hours to kind of work it all together with all the components that they had. And there's different challenges, and whoever wins in each group is awarded $1,500, and then one grand prize is awarded, and that's with $10,000. But for the Orlando one, it's a lot about kind of building up on what Universal's already doing. So there's one challenge that has to deal with the Universal Orlando mobile app. And they want it to help out with guests who are visually impaired and try to upgrade the app to deal with that. Cool. And I'll have a list of everything and link to the site. It's at like NBCUhackathon.com, but I'll link all to it. It's just this really cool thing where you get a whole bunch of nerds in a room and they try to better society with it.
This is where
not really better society.
The theme park experience anyway.
The theme park society better.
The geolocation thing is cool. I'd like to see what they come up with for that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just looking over it, I wish I could actually compete in this. But I'm not good enough at anything to ever do this, especially whenever it comes to technology. I know my one little realm, and that's about it. But if you're interested in signing up, we will have the links to all that stuff. So maybe you can change the world one day.
And let us know if you do sign up. We'd love to hear about your process if you get into this thing.
And if your name is John Connor,
I'm going to be terribly impressed. I struggle to even turn on my TV because it's hooked up to the Xbox, and that gets confusing. I couldn't do something like this.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this one's not for you.
I just stopped the show right there.
To wrap up the buzz this week, we will recount the saga of the water bottle, the great water bottle. Ban slash
water bottle
ban.
Gate.
Water bottle gate 2015 at Universal Orlando.
I prefer the water bottle debacle.
Water bottle debacle. Fantastic. So, last week, if you're watching this in real time or listening in real time, last Monday, all of a sudden, people that showed up at the security gates were told that they were not allowed to bring in their water bottles filled. They could still bring in empty containers, but nothing filled at all. And this set Twitter afire. And we briefly talked about it on our show last week, the last Thursday show. And literally right before we went out live, so I didn't even get the news, the ban was lifted. And people could start bringing it all in. So it was this big test for a couple days to see what would happen with it. Essentially, the whole ban was happening, we think, because of alcohol coming into the parks, especially during Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Put a clear type of liquor in a bottle and take it on in, and you've got a lot more liquor that they can't control. And they have to have control over these things. That's why you can't leave a theme park with a beer, because it changes designations. I mean, that was always one of the fascinating things that I'd hear about Disney back before World Showcase all became a united thing. How you every time you got to the next country, they would have people there that made you finish your beers.
Oh, really?
Before you got into the next one.
Wow. Because it wasn't so all control. Glad that does not exist
yeah,
anymore.
I know. I'd be like, what's the point of even buying it?
So
yeah.
It's not on that strict of a level here, but I mean, there's laws that they have to really take into consideration.
For different, yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. So the test happened. It furiously pissed people off, because then they had the option of just throwing away water bottles or dumping it all out. And you know, that would be a big deal, especially if you're a family that tries to bring all your stuff to the parks, especially water, to save money in the long run.
Right. The difficulty at that point is you either are forced to drink tap water, which some people don't feel is the safest way to consume water, or you have to buy bottled water in the park, which can be extremely expensive, especially for the families, as you mentioned.
But you don't even have to do that. And all you have to do is bring that container. And it's something that people don't know a lot, but just bring a container, because at every Coke Freestyle machine throughout the park, the self-service ones, you can still get ice and water and all those for free. And those are completely filtered.
I knew that you could like go up to with the if you buy that $8 refillable red the one that's not the Freestyle, if you don't want to refill it, they'll keep filling it with water for you and stuff like that.
They will, but you can bring anything from home and fill it up with machines. If you have a bottle with you, I mean, it's tricky then because of the opening, but you can technically refill water bottles after you go through that first one.
Oh, I am definitely going to do that.
And it is, I will vouch for it, it is good, clean water.
And look, I think
can be afraid, but
I am definitely afraid.
Dustin.
I think a bonus side effect to this test that they were doing is, yes, it is going to force people to buy more water. But I have to believe that it's what Craig said, that they do need to find some way to try to control the intake of alcohol coming into their park a little bit better. Because God knows I've done it. I've had, liquor in a Coke bottle and, taken it to different places. So it's
something people do.
It's something people do. Anybody can do it. And it's not a big deal. It's not noticeable.
Well, so I guess they're not sticking with this way of trying to control it, though, because they lifted the ban.
They did. At the end of the day, it just gets too difficult in trying to say who's doing it for bad reasons, who's doing it for good reasons. They didn't really release their whole thought process on behind everything with it. Maybe one day they will come out and say it, but right now there's no real information, unless I just completely missed out on it somewhere along the line. It happened. It's gone. End of subject.
All is right in the world.
All is right in the world. And with that will end off the buzz. And we're going to shuffle on into the mid-show shuffle real quick here. Nothing actually big, just wanted to bring it up because we're going to cover it on a future segment. Kim Holt wrote on our Facebook page, before we go to Walt Disney World every year, we always like to watch a new favorite movie. Well, that didn't. A few favorite movies to remind us of the details and storylines we will see at the attractions. I haven't been to Universal since 1990. What are some of the must-see movies or TV shows to see that would enhance the experience? with some of the attractions. For instance, the Harry Potter attractions are good enough that if you know nothing about the books or movies, they are still enjoyable.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw that out there. If anyone that's watching or listening has any suggestions, go ahead and get in touch with us. One of the ways we said earlier, either at disunplug.com through our new messaging system. You can email at us podcast@disunplug.com, tweet at us right on our Facebook wall. We'll start compiling it all up along with our own ones, and we will have a future segment on what we think you should study before going to the parks.
You like it.
I like it too. I wanted to cover it a little while back, but now it's coming around full circle.
It's good that we know that people are interested in it too now.
Exactly.
It's not just our own self-serving. It's not just,
yes, and that's what's important, and it really will help people plan.
Yeah, so, I first-hand experience, which I will talk about when we get to that. Yeah,
very cool. So thank you, Kim, so much. We will get to that eventually. I hope you don't take your vacation before then and we just kind of screwed you over on it. But with that being said, we're going to focus on our spotlight on the universe.
Oh yeah,
this week we're talking about the Universal Dining Plan, a very, I will say now, controversial topic.
Controversial
in my opinion. It shouldn't be controversial, but maybe controversial is a bad word. It just kind of pisses me off.
That's irritating, then.
It's a very irritating topic. So Universal, in terms of dining plans / meal deals, I know it back to the one that this replaced in 2013. That was the Universal Meal Deal. You get unlimited quick service meals at participating quick service places. So not everywhere. This was around like whenever Three Broomsticks was already put in, but you couldn't go and eat unlimited meals at Three Broomsticks. You can't have that good food. You can have burgers and
the cardboard,
cardboard, tofu. Maybe I don't, that's a bunch of food that really isn't that real, but it was a huge thing. And it was 1999 and you could just eat and eat and eat.
Oh, it was only 1999 then.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was more than that then, but yeah.
No, it was, it may have been, whenever it finished off, it may have been $20.99, but either way,
it was a deal.
A stellar deal.
Oh, you mean the price? I thought you were talking about the years. I was like, I'm sorry. I got derailed. Sorry. Go ahead.
And this isn't one of my favorite things that I ever heard any guest saying in the park ever, was one guy got mad whenever he got turned away from a ride for being too big, which does happen at Universal, sadly enough. But he's like, but that meal deal is such a good value.
He said that?
He absolutely did. I hope you're not listening to us right out there. It's not making fun, but it's...
But like, it was a good deal.
It was. I mean, people were happy with just that and nothing else in the park. So, bravo.
Yeah, I was with people that had kids. That was my first, like, first-hand experience with it. And, like... It was good because, like, the kids, they're always hungry. They never stop eating. And so, like, we could just stop in and get, like, fries. And then we would just keep going. And then they'd stop in and they'd get something else. And then we kept going. And, you know, so it was just...
Yes, I vouch for that. As a mom with three children that are hungry all the time, that was why it was so fantastic.
Well, and it's not anymore, unfortunately, in my opinion. It can be, but it's not. So now it's broken down. It's a Universal Dining Plan. There's two forms of it. There is the quick service plan and there is the full service plan. So we're going to start with the quick service, because if you're going to choose either one of them, this is probably the one that you're going to be most interested in. So the quick service plan is available with any admission ticket. So you don't have to be a vacation package guest to get it. You can show up with your 1-day 2-park pass ticket and you can go up to any of the dining booths that they have set up in the park or City Walk or guest services. And right away you can say, hey, I want to add on the Universal Dining Plan, and they will give it to you for the cost of $19.99 plus tax for adults or $12.99 plus tax for kids. And this entitles you for the quick service one of one quick service meal, which includes your meal and a beverage, non-alcoholic, one snack, and then another non-alcoholic beverage throughout the day. So, and I probably should have said this before we even got into it, but it's a lot of people would like to compare this to Disney's dining plan, just because when you hear dining plan, you want to connect the two. However, Disney's, it's a lot easier to get your cost out of it because a lot of food prices are higher at Disney. And then it's also just the whole system of it is that it's all linked to your account and it's kept you have to use it before your end of the stay. You can't just buy it separately on one day like you can with this one.
Yeah.
In this one, it's literally you go up and you say you want it, and they give you a plastic card that says Universal Dining Plan on it. It's a orange card.
Oh, they don't do the wristbands anymore.
No. If you want it for, let's say, 3 days, they will give you three cards for yourself, yeah, individually for each day. And if you have 10 people in your group, that means they're giving you 30 cards that you have to keep track of.
Well, it gets very confusing, yeah, because it's hard to keep track of which cards have been partially used, which ones haven't been used.
These were the cards you were using at Mardi Gras when we were there.
I pulled them out.
You basically have to go through with a Sharpie and mark it 1, 2, 3, keep track of your days like that. And then.
And once you use it, hers expired. Like, we went to go use what was left on them, and they were like, the girl swiped it, told us what was on it, and then we went to go use it right then, and she was like, oh, it says expired, now it's not there anymore. And I was like, you couldn't tell us the first time that you swiped that happened?
It was like, oh, okay, yeah, you can get this drink with your plan. Oh, just joking.
Well, that doesn't sound good. So moving back on to the quick service one, you have your individual cards. And with this, you have a lot of locations to use it. You can use it at any of the quick service. So in the studios, the highlight, of course, is eating at Leaky Cauldron or anywhere in the Springfield Fast Food Boulevard, Simpsons area. Mm-hmm. There's lots of options. Islands of Adventure, you can use it at any of the quick service there, as well as Three Broomsticks. And in City Walk, your only two options are Bread Box and Hot Dog Hall of Fame. But that's basically the only quick services there. So you lack out onto that. It says that you can save up to, I believe, 30% by using this instead of just paying for your food out of pocket.
It's a lie.
It's not a lie. So I did the math on it, and I didn't get 30%, but I looked at Three Broomsticks, which I considered the highlight restaurant in Islands of Adventure.
I agree.
I took the average cost of all the items, which your average amount you're going to pay is $12.13. There you can't buy soda, so add on $3.29. for a drink, and you get to about $15 for your one meal. Add on a drink later on in the day, that's $3. And then add on an average snack, which is about $4. And that puts you at $22.41, which is more than it cost. And that's before tax. So add on the $22 plus tax, that's more than $19.99 plus tax. So if you're doing the quick service by itself, technically it can be worth it, and you can get that 30% if you order the most expensive thing everywhere.
I was going to say that there are other places, like my kids and I used it when we went to the Fire Eater's Grill, mm-hmm, and the combos are considered quick service at that place, and it actually was an enormous amount of food, and my kids and I couldn't even finish it, but because with the combo you actually get a dessert, you get an entree, and you get a drink all in those. So that, you know, that combo doesn't take away from the snack and the drink that are already on your card. Mm. It does end up being a good deal in certain places, but you have to kind of figure that out though. Yeah. You can't just end up somewhere and expect to get a good deal of it. You kind of have to know where you would need to hit in order to get your money's worth.
Exactly. And even on top of that, you have to pay attention to the fine details of it. So a snack, you would think, is, you know, any snack item, and you're basically right if it's ice cream, popcorn, churros, pretzels, whatever. With drinks, one thing that will kind of confuse people is you would think that that butterbeer would be considered a drink, mm-hmm, but it's not. It's a snack item.
You would also think that the frozen slushies that they have in the park would be considered a drink, but they're considered a snack as well.
I know Dustin's probably wondering about Moose Goose.
Or jute.
Wait, what?
Moose juice.
Dustin always wonders about that. Everyone should always wonder about that.
I prefer moose juice.
And that's fantastic for you. So I think, long story short, you can make good use of the quick service one if you want to. However, that also means that you're going to have to buy that drink or the drink or the snack later on in the day. And like for me, I don't usually eat snacks whenever I'm there. I'll get a meal, but I won't go around snacking. So for me, that wouldn't be a good
deal. I just think, like, the popcorn bucket that you can get that's like 99 cents to refill is in the drink, and then you 99 cents to refill. I feel like those are the better. Those are the most that I do snack wise. I don't know.
Yeah. And we'll continue on to that. But before we get to more of that stuff, I want to hit on the full service plan. So this is only available as part of a vacation package. So if you're not staying at one of the hotels there with your whole deal, you cannot get this plan. So that's more in line like Disney's, but it is $51.99 plus tax for adults, $17.99 plus tax for children. That gets you one table service meal, which is an entree, a non-alcoholic beverage, and a dining plan dessert. One quick service meal, which is one entree and one non-alcoholic beverage, one snack, and one non-alcoholic beverage. The list of full service, I'll actually kind of go over those ones because there's a lot less. In the studios, you have Finnegan's, Lombard's, and then if you want to take part in the Superstar character breakfast, you can also use your dining plan on that. In Islands of Adventure, you can do Confisco Grill or Mythos Restaurant. And then whenever the Grinch is doing their breakfast in December, you can also use that on your dining plan. In City Walk, you have Antojitos, Bob Marley, Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, Pat O'Brien's, Red Oven Pizza Bakery, Vivo, and still coming soon, the Cowfish.
Still coming
Not soon. Yet, but still coming soon. So there's a lot of limited locations here. And the first thing that I found out is that a lot of Universal dining is relatively cheap, even at their full service.
Yeah, so it's reasonable.
I chose Vivo because we ate there, and I also know there are some pricier menu items on there. And the average meal that you ate at Vivo would be around $16.50. So then if you got the drink there, that's $3. And then the dining plan dessert, which I want to stress, that's not you choose from their dessert menu. They have a special dining plan only dessert, which I equivalated it to about $3 worth of dessert. It was the one at Vivo especially was pathetic.
They just gave us some sorbet with a couple cookies.
Yeah, with like, it was three biscotti cookies and like this tiny minuscule amount of sorbet, probably a half of a scoop.
I just have to
a quarter of a scoop.
I have to go ahead and say that sounds absolutely awful.
It wasn't good. I actually even passed on it. Craig was the only one who got one, and he did that out of a feeling of obligation. Yeah.
And I will find my picture of it. I don't know where it's disappeared to, but I'll put it in the show notes page so people can see it. It was so sad. I hope the other ones are better. We'll continue trying to research this to figure it out. So if Vivo, if you do all the averages, that'll get you around only $22 for your meal with your entree, drink.
That's a lot less than I would expect, like, looking at that restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can order stuff there that's $26, but then they have $11 meals that you can get there, too. So there's and that's everywhere across the board. There's a wide spectrum on how much you can spend. So then add that in with the $15 at Three Broomsticks like you did before with your $3 drink and a $4 snack. On an average day, I would say you can only spend about $45 on that, unless you order the most expensive thing. But if you order the right in the middle of the road everywhere, you're going to only spend about $45 whenever you already spent $51.99 on that meal. So I did one with the math. With if you ate the risotto at Vivo, which is $26.95, and did a drink and your dessert, and then you had the ribs at Three Broomsticks, which was $16, and you ate all that, you can get it up to $60. But then for $8, that's I don't like churros, and I don't like
pretzels. I feel like I'm pressured into the expensive meal at that point, too.
And you're pressured into using your snacks and trying to make the most out of it. The fact that you can get, like, a butterbeer with it and then a bottle of water, that kind of evens it out. You can make good decisions like that, but, you know, I just, on average, you never know what you're going to be in the mood for when you're going to be in the mood for
especially it. Especially after walking in a theme park all day and then going to, like, eat, you know, your dinner at night. Sometimes people don't like to eat a heavy meal.
Yeah. I think you can significantly lose money by doing the full service.
I think the flip side of this, though, is that it's not always, for some people, it is about the value and the money. And in this case, like you're saying, with the full service, maybe not the best idea. But a lot of people also get these dining plans just for the convenience, the idea that it's all paid ahead of time and they don't have to worry about cost on their vacation. They're coming on their vacation to just kind of relax, chill, not worry about how much it costs because it's already been paid up front. You just kind of go through your day, and it does have that advantage. However, in saying that, I feel like the universal dining plan loses a bit of its convenience with the way that they roll it out with these individual cards that are it's very tiresome to have to try to keep track of who's used what, when, what's left, because there's so, especially if you have using it for multi days, there's so many freaking cards.
Exactly. It's a convenience that ends up being extremely inconvenient, and that's to say the least on it. Dustin, do you have something to say?
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, the only time that I could possibly see that being convenient, and it's a very narrow niche market, is for the super-duper over-planner who puts an envelope of cash aside for each day of the week, labeled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay, here's my card for this day. And, you know, they're super organized like that. But otherwise, to have just a stack of these things.
That's what I'm saying, where I feel like the way that Universal is rolling this thing out, it actually loses its... probably its main pro point to it would be the convenience, but they kind of screw it up by the way that they're doing it with these cards. I mean, Rhino just mentioned it earlier when we were at the with the lady. I'm having to pull out each card and say, okay, what's left on this one? Okay, what's left on this one? And what's left on this one? Because it was all a mixed jumble and trying to keep track of what was already used on which card. It was a mess.
Yeah, and after the first time you use a card, you have to use it in 14 days.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
which is why after we went through the all what's on this card and what's on this card and what's on this card, we went through all of that. And then she tells us, by the way, you can't use any of it because it's expired.
Yeah. It was just annoying that she swiped them all. It was like, you have this. So we adjusted our order to fit with the cards. And then when we went to pay with them, they were like, you don't have them. And I was just like really kind of annoyed about that.
Well, so we have a very low opinion on it, and I will give out one other group of details, which was the one day in particular where JL and I used this without overthinking it, just using it on a normal basis. We ate at Vivo for dinner. My meal, I didn't get a beverage with dinner. I just got a glass of water because we were walking in the parks all day. So I spent $23.95 at Vivo. At the Bread Box where we ate lunch, I spent $8.99 on the sandwich, $2.99 on my drink, $2.99 on another drink during the day, and $3.99 on a snack. I got to $42.91. So lost $10 there. With JL, who eats significantly less than me too, at Vivo, she didn't have the dessert or a drink, so she only spent $12.95 there at Bread Box. Spent $8.99 on a sandwich, $2.99 on a drink, got a bottle of water and a snack. All of that put together, JL only spent $31 on that day. But that satisfied you that day.
I was stuffed.
And you still had too much food.
I still had too much food. I thought I just felt like I was going to upchuck because my stomach was busting at the seams. There would be no way that I could have fit. How short am I? $20 more worth of food in my system? It wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, and that was based on what we wanted at the time. It wasn't going in trying to find the most expensive thing just to make it work. And that's, if you look at a menu and you say, oh, I want the most expensive thing everywhere I'm going to go, then great, add on this to your vacation package. But if you just want to choose what you want to choose whenever, you're going to lose money on it. There's no way around it. You're going to lose money. But if you want to throw more money their way, you can also do the Coke Freestyle add-on, which you can get the Coke Freestyle mug for only $6 whenever you're on the dining plan. Normally, you can get it for $11.99. Just have it as a normal park guest. After that, every day you want to go around, it's $5.99 to refill it. But then you can go up to any of the Coke Freestyle machines throughout the day, and you can get as much soda as you want.
Yeah, but what makes no sense of that is then you're not using your drink thing either.
Like, unless you use it for water.
Or for like a bottle of water.
A bottle of water. All right. Yeah, that's the only difference. So that's an option, too, for people who really, really want to go crazy with how much money they're spending. But flat, hands down on the table, I can't recommend the meal deal unless you want the most expensive thing anywhere, or if you're doing the quick service and you feel like you can eat the amount of food, or there you can find as many options as you want with the actual deal. That's my opinion. JL?
Oh, same. I'm in complete agreement. Like I said, for me, the reason why I would want to get something like this in the first place would be for the convenience issue, but the convenience is not really convenient simply because of how they do it with these multiple cards, you know, flying all over the place. It's just hard to keep track of everything.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition with that. And we will be back next week, of course, with another episode. But until then, just...
What?
I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
We need a tagline here.
Well, no time for a tagline now. We're done. Bye.